Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. There's a tremendous amount of conversation going on and right now about the so-called immigration ban. And you have, of course, the executive order that was came out last month. And then you have now what is going to be some sort of revision of that, it looks like. And I'm finding there's incredible lack of clarity in the way this is being discussed at CNN, even at Fox, MSNBC. And I've asked Timothy Carney, visiting fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, where he works on economic competition, lobbying, cronyism, political economy, civil society, electoral politics, to join me to try to make sense of what we see going now in this conversation regarding Trump's immigration ban. Tim, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Let's make sure we know what's different between these two approaches. So the first time out, there was this indefinite suspension of all Syrian refugees. And in this new one, apparently, it's going to be a temporary suspension of all refugees from any country until that country puts in place its own background tests. Is that the way it's going?
So this is what we have now is what's sort of trickled out about the order. The final shape of the order still isn't in place. But yes, so the three major prongs of the first order were a 90-day suspension of people, of anyone coming from seven countries of special concern. That was Iran, Iraq, Syria, Sudan, Somalia, and Yemen. And so that's a 90-day ban.
And the purpose of that was to put in place stricter vetting criteria?
So the reason that all of this is temporary is because it's saying we're going to stop any of this from coming in until, as the president said as a candidate, we know what the heck is going on we can create stricter standards. So a 90-day limit on anyone from those, a 120-day limit on all refugees from anywhere in the world for any reason, and an indefinite suspension of Syrian refugees. So those were sort of the three prongs. The biggest problem they ran into was that this applied, according to the letter of the law, to a permanent resident. if you were an Iraqi who had moved here and this was your home, and you happened to be on vacation and you were trying to come back, you couldn't enter.
So it exempted legal permanent residents were banned and other visa holders, right? And so
so you could have already been given your visa, gone through a background check.
Right.
But if your flight happened to be in the air when President Trump signed the order, they detain you. Now, most of those people were let through, but it's still created this thing where then the Homeland Security had to issue new guidance.
Right,
the guidance clearly contradicted what was in the law. And frankly, that was what gave people standing, the states standing to sue, because they said these are residents of Washington State and they're being kept from entering.
Yep.
And so the rewriting was mostly about fixing that problem because their argument of the administration now is if you don't have a visa yet and you don't live in the United States, you don't have standing to sue. Just some guy who's in Iraq who wants to come to America doesn't have standing to sue. So that was the heart of the revision. But there were also people who said, you know, some of the problem here might be why have this indefinite suspension of Syrian refugees? Why apply it to all refugees, including those outside the seven countries? So that's some of what people thought might be addressed in the order.
From what we know about the new order, what has changed?
So the only thing we know has changed is that it doesn't apply to people who already have a visa.
Okay.
So if you live here already, if you're already approved to come here as a tourist, as a worker, as an immigrant, as a visitor, that's definitely changed. It seems like the rumor is that indefinite ban on the Syrian refugees
will be
dropped. Thus, Syrians will still be covered. All Syrians will be covered by the 90-day ban, and all Syrian refugees would be covered by the 120-day suspension. But the indefinite suspension would be lifted. So
right.
the administration would have 90 days at least to say, here's how we're going to check on those seven countries. And it's important to recognize those seven countries, they are Muslim-majority countries,
yeah.
but they're not where most Muslims came
yeah,
from.
Right.
And Donald, this was said 1,000 times, but it would be nice to lay it out. Donald Trump didn't pick those seven countries.
Right.
What happened was the Congress and President Obama passed a law that listed those seven countries because a lot of them, if you think of Yemen or Sudan or Somalia, there's not a government in place there that can really help us do a background check. So our State Department says, hey, can you find out if this person's a terrorist or a criminal? The answer is no, they can't find out.
Right.
They don't have that sort of thing. Or in the case of Iran, people who we don't trust
to
help us
right,
in our inquiries.
Right.
And these are also countries where we know there is terrorist activity, terrorist training, that sort of thing. So it's not just their Muslim countries. It's not just their countries where there's terrorism. It's countries where if we're trying to do a background check on someone, we need the cooperation of that other government. From these seven countries, we can't count on that cooperation. So that's why those seven countries are in there. And it seems like they're going to stay there. And that was not a choice of Donald Trump. That was something that came from
yeah.
the previous Congress.
But this is part of the problem, is that those who oppose the president are approach this first executive order with great suspicion. So instead of reading the order itself, they went back to things that were said during the campaign and tried to read those intentions into the executive order. And so he secretly harbors hatred of Muslims, for instance. And so that's what he really means here. Well, that isn't the way we're supposed to analyze this, right? We're supposed to look at what the executive order actually says, not what we imagine he thinks in his heart.
I mean, that's what we tried to do at the Examiner. First, we wrote an editorial opposing the order on a couple grounds, but also I wrote a piece sort of saying this is what it actually does and this is what
yeah.
it doesn't do. But that question of how are we supposed to read it is the question that's been before the courts, because one of the arguments, once it no longer is made to apply to current visa holders, once the new order comes out, the argument that the plaintiffs will be left with is, this is discriminatory on its face, or this is discriminatory in its intent. It's important that they say that because there's two different sort of federal laws that are relevant here. The first is a law that basically says the president is allowed to, at any point, temporarily limit the entrance into the country of almost any class of, you know, applicant.
Yes,
he wants to.
If he perceives it as a problem of national security, right, he can do that.
Yeah. But on the other hand, there's federal law saying you're not really allowed to be discriminatory in who you let in and who you don't. That's why I think the White House is on firm ground basing this on an existing law. But the plaintiffs will argue, like the Washington State Attorney General will say, well, no, but this isn't about battling terrorism. And they'll note no terrorist attack in the United States has come from the person has come from those countries, 9/11,
right.
San Bernardino, they all came from other countries.
Yeah.
And they'll say, we know his intent is to keep out Muslims because he said that during the
right.
campaign.
Right.
So different judges have different ideas of how much the intent of that matters. I'm not a lawyer, so I won't opine on that. But the administration thinks their safe footing, their safe harbor, is the fact that these seven countries were picked. President Obama wasn't picking them because he had some discriminatory intent.
Right.
Congress wasn't doing it. They were doing it because there was legitimate problems with vetting the people from those countries.
Yes. And unfortunately, we haven't gotten to the place yet where people are willing to talk about the political ideology component of certain types of Islam. So we can't even get into the actual belief system to see what might be compatible with a U.S. understanding of constitutional rights.